Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I'll return shortly with today's guest, Sheriff Sharwin Rockendorfer, who is the sheriff of Bedford County, not Nottingham, but Bedford County. We're going to learn all about him when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Bill Turner, the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, every day is Independence Day. Executive Director Mary Grattan says assisted living is on the way.
Where you come in, there'll be nursing that will be there. They'll help you with medication, dressing, bathing. There'll be breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Our main restaurant, the cafe, will be open for evening meals as well.
Call Homewood at Springhouse Estates today and see what's new at 623-0349. That's Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
This is District Attorney Bill Higgins. Let's head back to Bedford County Speaks, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
You have had contact with the Sheriff's Office here in Bedford County and any other county in Pennsylvania, probably several times in your life. You just didn't know it. These guys have a very, very special mission, and we're going to learn about that from Sheriff Sharwin here in a minute. I wanted to talk with you because I have been doing these programs for almost 4 years now, and it has been fascinating to me as I go to these events in the courthouse, obviously the trials, and sometimes one of your men is at a commissioner's meeting, which I attend from time to time, and they're always sort of present. You walk in the door on the third floor, there they are, and you come on the first floor, and there they are. And so you're kind of, your mission's a little bit in the background. You're not like a police officer, which you used to be, in the sense that you're not around and so visible. So, Sheriff, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to join us. It's really great to have you here today. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I need you to give us a little background on what a sheriff is in Pennsylvania. I know in some states they're a police officer, but in this state it is not. They have a special mission. Could you explain that a little bit to us?
Yeah, I've actually even had friends say, hey, boy, you're really something because you're sheriff. And I says, that and 50 cents will give me a cup of coffee if you can find cheap coffee anymore. But the sheriffs in the state of Pennsylvania serve the court. We're not police officers per se, like, let's say, Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office or something like that, or even down south. What we do is... obviously, we support the courts, which means, you know, if we have to do transports, court security, building security, serving of paperwork that's basically in a roundabout way is a court order through foreclosures or complaints or whatever we have to serve. Then we get into protection abuse orders, PFAs, that the judge has to have served on the individual. So we basically function as an arm of the judges. Not to say, and we've had that where people say, well, you can't stop us for traffic violations. That's not true.
there to be warned.
Our people go through a 19-week academy. Mm-hmm. It's almost mirrors the police academy, right, through MOPEC. The only difference is there's an extra couple weeks for civil law, where some people have the idea, you know, you have a crime, so the police are going to investigate. So you have a civil case, we're going to investigate, and that's not how civil works. It's a non-investigatory type of thing, and it's hard to explain, but, right, you know, most of the time we explain people they need to go seek an attorney's advice to deal with stuff like that. But on the short term, that's basically what we are. Plus, in the background, we're here, but we're not here in the courthouse.
No. Well, that's what I said. It's kind of interesting. You have, an entrance facility up on the floor with the parking lot.
Yes.
And I know that I walk in and see your men, but I don't see your men. They're behind that glass, which is kind of hard to see in there, I guess, deliberately. They can probably see me just fine. But I always wave, though. When I go by, I wave. Even when they can't see them, I wave. Figure they're going to be in there somewhere. Someone should wave at them. But you guys are sworn officers, though.
Yes.
Yeah. So
we're certified. We just happen to be. Matter of fact, I am also certified. Mm-hmm. They changed the law here several years ago. It used to be the Deputy Sheriff's Act. It's now the Sheriff's and Deputy Sheriff's Act. And anybody who is fulfilling the sheriff's role has to go to updates just like the deputies do. And it's similar to the police side of it, the MOPEC side, where even the chief of police has to go to the 2-year certification or the yearly certifications. So we're all certified. So
our guest this morning is Sheriff Reichendorfer, and he has been here for about 10 years, and he told me he's going to retire in a couple of years maybe. So here's your big chance to run for sheriff if you want to retire, but you got to wait for him to get out first. You can't get in there first. You got to let him finish his job. But Sheriff, this is an interesting thing to me, because the sheriff is a very ancient role in law, isn't it? I mean, it goes back to England.
Yeah, it goes back to England, and you referenced earlier the Sheriff of Nottingham, right. Robin Hood, and all that kind of stuff. But we some of our laws are brought through Old English law, mm-hmm. and it's till this day. Right. It's sort of, I guess, modernized, if you want to call it that, over all the centuries and stuff. But basically, we've come, I think they called him Sharif.
Oh, really?
If I'm not mistaken, and I can't tell you right now what that meant.
Kind of a nice French feeling.
But it has to do with, like, you know, the guy, you know, being the enforcement for mm-hmm. the nobles or whoever's got the local castle and stuff like that. So
I think a lot of business people are familiar with the sheriff's department in the sense that they sometimes used to have the sheriff's department to do a sale, maybe, or conduct a sale for the court. That's kind of where the kind of contact I've had with the sheriff's department.
Yeah, we don't do the people get confused. We do not do tax sales.
Mm-hmm.
We serve the tax notices.
Gotcha.
The people who have not paid their taxes, we have to go out. There's certain ways we have to do the service every year. And we've had as high as 1,800 tax papers we had to serve, which puts a real.
So you're not up there with a gavel selling stuff.
No, we don't do that. But on the other end of it, we do mortgage foreclosures. So if you have a bank who somebody bought a house and things just didn't go that they could pay their mortgage payments and stuff, then there's papers that we have to serve in person. And then at some point in time, if there isn't an agreement made between the bank and the individual who has a mortgage, we have mortgage sales. And there's representatives of banks and stuff. So we do that on the mortgage side, but not the tax side.
And sometimes it can get a little dangerous. That incident they had in Harrisburg, I guess, just last week, with the man that was serving something, and they had a gunfight over it. I noticed that your men wear bulletproof vests here. I guess courtrooms are getting pretty wild now. You have to be careful.
I mean, when I was a young street cop, it was tough back then. And some people, there was an article in the local paper years ago about, and I made comments, you know, it was tough in town. And everybody says, well, this isn't Philadelphia, this isn't Pittsburgh. We had our own thing here.
Really?
And, you know, it was one thing that was back in the old days when they lapped a block. And, you know, the kids just hung out in town. You know, on a Friday and Saturday night, you could have the whole town gridlocked and maybe 500, 600 kids standing on the streets and stuff.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. So there's a difference of opinion, however you grew up. If you grew up and, hey, you just hung out, well, that's one thing, but you didn't see the other side of what we did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, over the years, it's now pretty much a sleeping bedroom community compared to what it was at one time. But, you know, things have changed. Things have changed a lot.
Well, you know, when I moved here, I always assumed that Bedford was this sleepy little town, you know. It's on 30, but it's not a major highway anymore. It kind of got bypassed by the turnpike, and here we are. You know, and
no, it was different. Even Everett had its own block lapping. And it used to be the route, you know, people lap the block around here, shoot to Everett, go around the block down there, shoot back to Bedford, you know, go around the block, drive around the block and stuff. There used to be the 100-miler clubs and stuff like that.
And what was that?
You went around the block for 100 miles. So, it's things have changed.
So this is in the 60s, 70s this happened?
I remember I got out of school in 68.
Right.
Out of Bedford. And there were some at that time, but it seemed to develop the longer you got. It broke somewhere around the early 90s. Of course, there's other things. You know, the malls started to develop a lot more than what they are now.
Right.
And, of course, you have the video games and the computers and stuff, and other people have other things. The police department, whenever I was with the police department, we sponsored the dances down at the fort on Sunday nights. And we did them for about 15 years, and then they were taken over by other entities. And
so the police started the dances. I've heard about the dances.
Yeah.
And was this an attempt to relieve some of that pressure?
Well, it was twofold. We could get the kids in the fort park, and we knew where they were.
Right.
So there's two cops working the whole town. So it was a lot easier to have them down there that we could keep track.
Sure.
Because the off-duty guys were taken care of. You know, the dance and you know, getting the people, you know,
right,
they have them checked in and stuff. The other end of it, we had gotten a police dog, which I was the one of the handlers of it. So we needed money to pay for the vet bills and stuff. So that was our thing, where we paid for whatever the dog needed and stuff. So that worked out, the vet bills, the dog food and stuff like that. And we actually had a local business here that had even donated dog food, which was really helpful. So
this is a side of Bedford I have not heard about before, and that's why it's so interesting to me. So the dances were originally set up to kind of contain this energy of these young people and to get them.
Yeah, it was.
But you say get them in a place where you could handle them.
Yeah, but basically we could. You know, when you have, we had as many as 1,200 kids down that fort, and I think that's like having watching a hurricane. It used to be interesting whenever you had who's going to be the tough guy, and you could see the center of the dance start to swirl like a hurricane, and you knew that they were going to fight. So you just went in the center, and you know, of course, people got arrested or they got thrown out of the dance.
I don't think I've ever seen 1,200 kids in one place.
Well, I'll tell you what, there was times where we were sweating because we thought it was one of them nights you felt like there was electricity in the air and it was going to happen, but we didn't.
You know, you see this stuff in the movies. You know, there's, you know, the gangs, like the pagans were against the so-and-sos and that kind of stuff. So you didn't have that. They were just these.
They were just kids. They came from all over the county.
Right.
And then probably from, well, I know they came from, you know, probably, you know, Altoona, Johnstown and stuff, because that was the dance. And once we had established it, that was the big thing on Sunday nights for a long, long time. I think we had them, the police part, I think we had them for about 15 years, so.
Fascinating. Our guest is Sheriff Rick Delfer, and we're going to come back in a second. But before I do, I wanted to mention to you that today's program is brought to you in part by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And also our new sponsor, Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. And we'll return with Sheriff Reckendorfer when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. We hope you're enjoying this week's Bedford County Speaks. We're pleased to sponsor this community effort every week. Sometimes people ask us how we do business. Well, it's simple. When a family firm like us has been around for over 100 years, you learn a lot. For example, we know you don't care for haggling, so instead, we discount our vehicles up front to remove all the guessing. We also pay our sales consultants on volume rather than on the price of the car or truck. That way, everyone works to get you the vehicle you want instead of the one we may want to sell you. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru offers transparent financing with protection options to fit your budget. In addition, when you buy a car or truck from us, you get free state inspections for life, free car washes for life, and great warranties, which remove all the worry. And we'll even buy your trade for cash. So stop by our showroom today and check out our beautiful supply of Chevrolet cars, tough Chevy trucks, and those fabulous worry-free Subarus. That's the Thomas Promise. To learn more, visit us on Route 220 or thomaschevrolet.com.
This is Matt Gottesart of the Federated Library System of Bedford County, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned today with fascinating guest, Sheriff Reckendorfer. Sharvin, you have just opened my eyes about the role of the sheriff. I had no idea about its history and what it means to the people that live in this county. And during the break, you were telling me about how the sheriff's departments around the state have lost their powers over years. And you said it happened a long time ago. But originally, they were the law enforcement for the counties.
Yes.
And Today, it's changed in the sense that these sheriffs operate inside the courthouse. But tell me what happens if you have an incident, say, at a trial, and your guys are there. Do they handle it, or do they have to get the police, or what happens? How does that happen?
Well, if you have a trial and our people see it, it's odd because of court decisions in the state of Pennsylvania. If they see what's happening, obviously they function whatever the judge wants done, ejected, taken mm-hmm. into custody, or whatever he wants
so
done.
So the judge is making that call at that moment.
He's well,
saying,
he
you know,
could.
Get him out of here.
It's not that we, if they see something that they can't act in, we remove somebody from the courtroom or
right.
something. The judge, obviously, he's the boss of the courtroom. So, and again, we're the arm of his arm of the court. So,
gotcha.
But, you know, if they need arrested or whatever, we can do that. But if we do not see it, and this is the strangest thing in the world, is if we do not see it, then we'd have to call the Bedford Police Department in for them to investigate because we cannot investigate a crime. We see it, we can do something. We don't see it, we have to have them investigate.
I see. You see someone running down the hallway, you can do something about that.
Well, we can stop him and find out what's going on, but if we have to go further than that
gotcha.
And investigate, then we have to call the police department in. It's an odd thing, and there's been court decisions. And it's like I told you, I said, you know, when this county was formed in 1771, you know, the sheriff hopped on his old horse and his flintlock rifle went to Saxon for 3 days or to get down there and handle it. Over the years, the powers of the police or the sheriff has diminished in with court decisions and stuff, and there's been a push for numerous years from the Sheriff's Association to try to restore police powers. And to me, sometimes I think it's more of a turf war. Who's
Could
in
be.
Charge?
Yeah.
Who's going to lose what or whatever, right. and it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I was with the police department almost 34 years. The second I took my shield off and put my star on, I couldn't do anything.
Mm.
I mean, or more, I shouldn't say I couldn't do anything. But my role was stifled
right.
compared to what I was when I was a police officer.
So you do not retain your police powers, even though you were once a policeman. You have to be part of a department.
Correct.
Gotcha.
There's certification. Some of my people
gotcha.
Have dual certifications where
right.
they have their police certification
mm-hmm.
and their sheriff's deputy certification.
Yeah.
But they are attached to the the detectives out of the district attorney's office. So kind of an odd thing, but it's like you're covering things to do things. It's just strange.
Now, you mentioned earlier your men, and you included, had to take special courses in law. Now, when I see you, you're just kind of standing in the back. We don't hear or see from you too much. You know, the court proceeds, whatever that's happening. I see your men around the building. But why do they have to know this business about the law? Is there something going on that I don't know about with the sheriffs and their job?
Is it, they have to be able to function, obviously, with the laws of the land.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have certifications. There's nobody, I don't think anybody, even the constables, have to go through certification courses anymore. It's not a bad idea to go to an academy to learn. Like I said, a lot of the sheriff's academy mimics the police academy.
Right.
And why they don't combine it in the state of Pennsylvania is beyond me, but that's not my level in the realm of things.
Well, that'll be a good thing for you to do when you run for office after this
yeah.
job you have now.
I'm not sure how that's going to go.
I know they need a congressman right now. Maybe that would be a good gig for you.
You know, at the level I'm at, because I remember talking to late Dick Hess, and I said, Dick, I says, I do not know how you can run every 2 years. I said, 4 years, and I said,
It
just wipes you out. You about run yourself ragged. And you may win or you may not win.
Well, we're speaking to the sheriff of Bedford County, and this has really been fascinating. I want to talk a little bit about the day-to-day stuff that your men have to do. I see them up in that little guardhouse they have up there on the second floor, and I see them in the courts. Quite frankly, it looks a little boring. It looks tough. They got to kind of hang around and not but be alert. So
it's like watching paint dry grass grow. The security booth in the second floor, more or less that's the hot spot. You got the family court, too, with President Judge Ling running it.
Mm-hmm.
You have children and youth services. You have the domestic relations office. It's all in one area. I mean, you have also the criminal court in the old courthouse, but it's a different animal up there. People, you know, have their kids taken away from them or somebody has to pay somebody money through domestic relations or a multitude of things that deal with a family. And that just doesn't go over good when you have your kids taken away from you.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a hard thing for the guys to do, but they're there. We're there, but we're not there.
Right.
I always try to, we're around, but I, you know, I don't want to be, there. We're the ones that's being seen. I don't know if I explained that correctly, but it's the old story, you know, you break the glass in case of fire. That's what I want my people to be.
I see.
So, and the court, or the security guy in the security booth, there's also the camera system, so he's watching the cameras of the courthouse. So
they're looking at cameras throughout the courthouse, not just where they are and there.
Correct.
They can see other things.
Yes.
Well, we interviewed Lisa Cairo some months ago, and she told me this thing with children and youth services can get very emotional in a courtroom.
Yes.
And in her office.
Yes.
So are you guys sometimes summoned for things like that?
We've been there, and we've been in the – well, obviously there is somebody in the courtroom, but if Lisa needs somebody or domestic relations office needs somebody, we've been known to go there and handle the situation. So
I've talked to them about when they have to go into someone's home at 8 o'clock at night. I said, that's got to be work every bit as dangerous as being a cop.
I've been with them. It's been a few years when I first got in here, there's times where I went out with them on weekends or evenings and stuff.
Right.
And that's interesting because you're going into somebody else's castle saying this is the way the government wants you to do it. And they get a little hostile. It's just like our protection order. Sometimes we have what we call, I call gun lifts, where we're supposed to take the firearms into possession until the thing is resolved.
I see.
And, you know, we're an old-style county, a rural county, and everybody's got guns.
Sure.
And people don't like you taking their guns, and you got to explain to them they're probably going to get the things back. That's not always the case 100% because of domestic violence and the rules of the federal law. Mm-hmm. But at some point in time, they'll get their stuff, their guns back. But there, people get a little hostile when you take their guns. You know, you don't mess with the guns.
We're the children.
We're the kids.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So
you've just been a fountain of information, so I want to ask you one more thing. I know we have constables, and I know the constables serve paper, but you said the sheriffs serve papers. So how are the roles different?
Well, you got to look at the court system. There's, I guess, lack of a better way to explain it. There's a two-tier system. You have the magisterial district judges, which would be Judge Osmond, Bingham, Calhoun, and Baker. They're on a lower court level. If you would get a traffic ticket, there's where you would go.
These are the old DJs, we used to call them, right?
Yeah, the old DJs.
Right.
They keep changing the name, but that's just the old JPs.
Okay.
When I first started, I worked under JPs. So,
okay.
The constables work on that level.
Ah, I see.
We work on the level of the county level, like here in a courthouse between Judge Livingood and President Judge.
So with the common pleas judges as opposed to the justice of the peace.
They sort of handle the lower end. We handle
the
upper end. If they need help with whatever, because obviously they got the same problems we do, we'll help them. They help us. So,
do you have a jail on the premises here?
We got a holding area.
A holding area.
Yeah.
So if I'm, I guess, in jail or in prison or whatever, and I come here for a court appearance, is there a place where I'm kept here in this building?
Yes. Yes. We have a secure area. We go all over the place, transporting people in for their court dates and stuff.
Right.
Plus, obviously, we have our own local prison here. When we transport people in for court dates, and they're held in an off area.
Some counties have television between the court and the jail. Do you have anything like that?
Yeah,
you do?
We were one of the last ones in the state, if I understand it. Video conferencing, I guess, of lack of, I think that's what it's called. The judges can actually talk to people in different prisons and stuff, and saving us from running back and forth.
Sure.
And I think that was the original thing. Of course, it's a new technology and stuff. Now, this has been in effect longer than I've been here, so. But it takes the heat off of us, because the less I have to run around, the less money I'm going to have to spend, and that's less at the commissioners are going to have to figure out where they're going to pay to go, because if I don't have to run and they can do it on a video conference, you know, that's a win for us. Obviously, it still costs money, but
it's a lot less than car or a van or something.
Yeah, we throw two people in a car
sure.
and, you know, running across the state. And, you know, our state You know, you go to Philadelphia, you knock the snot out of about 4 hours.
Oh, so, yeah.
And that's just one way. Then
and
you
that's
if wait.
The traffic's okay.
Yeah, and the traffic's okay. And then you got to get into the system, and they mm-hmm. just don't have one jail. You got to figure out which place you got to need to go to,
right.
How long it takes them to get them out. And then you go back, you can knock off 10, 12 hours.
So you actually have to go to Pittsburgh and Philadelphia sometimes.
Sometimes.
But to get a witness or something? Is that?
No, it's somebody that needs to go to court system.
I see. So they're being tried here, but maybe they're being held over
there.
Yeah,
well, they
like
got
that.
Arrested down there or over there, wherever they're at. And we have a court order, and then we have to go get them. And it's, like I said, we've got 10 or 12 man hours, and there's two. So that's 24 man hours. 16 of it was the regular hours, so the rest of it's overtime. That's just to get them here, go get them, bring them back. And then we got to take them back. So there's another.
So are some of your crew assigned to that stuff, or does everybody work everything?
I try to rotate around because, gotcha. Like I said, the courtrooms and stuff, you know, that gets old, and some of that stuff is kind of dry.
Right.
And so we try to rotate.
So they have to go ride the country sometimes.
Yeah, they go out and stuff. Some people like to go on long distance runs. Some of them don't. So. Right. You know, everybody has their own niche, and I try to.
Now, I saw one of your cars on the way over here this morning pulling up in front of the courthouse, and it looks like a police car. It's got all the same stuff police cars have.
Yes.
So those vehicles are used to haul these prisoners, is that it?
Yes, we have that. And several years ago, I got rid of the one van, and we actually got a transport van that has a module in the back that's mm-hmm. specifically set up for that.
Right.
I think the old one, I forget what, it was just like a... Just a regular van,
right.
That, you know, with a bunch of seats and stuff in it, but it was falling apart. And
sure.
Every time we'd stop, you know, like a couple gallons of antifreeze around.
Sprung for a new one, huh?
So I finally got the commissioners, and they sprung, and that's what's nice about it. It's, you know, it's a diesel one to start, so it'll last forever and a day. And when it Good. Does croak, all they have to do is pull the module out and put it under. Into another van.
Oh, really?
So
okay.
Sitting by a cargo van instead of buying all the fancy stuff for the inside.
You've been fascinating. I had no idea that you guys did all this, so I really appreciate your talking with us. Our guest this morning has been Sharman Reichlendorfer, who is the sheriff of Bedford County, and is going to be for the next couple of years until he retires and what runs for president or something. Told me to do right something exciting.
I don't know.
It's okay. I don't want you to go back to work. You should just go retire. But believe me, it's a nice feeling when you're not working. Although my wife said to me this morning, she said, "I thought you were retired." I said, "Well, I have to go see the sheriff. We're gonna have a little conversation with him." Anything I miss here? Did I miss anything that you wanted to cover this morning?
No, pretty much. I think the biggest thing is we have powers of police. We don't, you know, there's things that we need to do. Unfortunately, somebody will say, "Well, somebody, you know, ran through the red light or something." But if the guy's transporting a prisoner, they do not stop traffic stops. They have a certain thing that they need to be doing at that particular time. So it's even though they see a car and say, "Well, I didn't do nothing," that's not always true. That's not always true.
Well, I guess you have to make decisions on the spot, and that's what you guys do. So, well, thank you very much for your service doing this and all of your men and women that do it. I know people in this county don't appreciate it because, quite frankly, we really didn't really know much. And I think you want it that way. I think that's been a good thing.
Yeah, less is more.
Yeah.
So we're doing what we need to do, and my people I have a good crew of guys here, and women, too.
Yes.
I have several women, so. And they're good, just as good as the guys, so.
Well, we want to thank you, and it was great to talk to you this morning. I want to thank Sheriff Sharman Reichlendorfer, who has been the sheriff here for about 10 years, and he's done a super job. And I wish you well with your new career, whatever it happens to be.
Who knows?
Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I look forward to joining you next time right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD. If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.